Napa know-how.
There are lots of amazing cars on the road, but perhaps none more amazing than the paid-off car. It may not be pretty, but the price is right. Heck, if you keep that thing running, it'll actually start paying you. Because with Napa Rewards, for every $100 you spend, you'll get $5 off. So keep your car running longer, stronger with Napa Rewards and watch the savings start rolling in. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
Right now, I'm really down on our leadership. Our huddles are like tombs right now. No one wants to step up and lead this group yet during this tough time.
Locked On Grizzlies, your daily Memphis Grizzlies podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On Grizzlies, this post-game edition. My name is Peter Edmiston. And normally, you know, if you listen to the podcast, you know that I like to do a little intro, get you set up for what's coming up on the pod. But today, given the nature of what happened at FedEx Forum on Tuesday night, I figured I would let David Fizdale do the intro for me because he had some extremely pointed comments after a pretty amazing collapse by the Grizzlies in the second half of the game against the Boston Celtics, up at one point, not just by double digits, but by nearly 20 points. They end up losing this ball game in overtime in really bizarre fashion. This game went from one of the more impressive defensive showings that we've seen, you know, holding the Celtics to under 30% shooting in the first half, up, you know, 45-31 and really cruising, at one time ending up with a lead of 17. And then next thing you know, in the second half, the Celtics end up shooting almost 53% from the field, and Isaiah Thomas goes completely nuclear. And the Grizzlies, a lot of it is a self-inflicted wound. They were completely off the charts bad. As good as they were defensively in the first half, they were that bad defensively in the second half, and there was nobody that stepped up to stop the bleeding. And that really, I think, was what David Fizdale was alluding to when he talked about a lack of leadership. So the Grizzlies end up losing 112-109. They allow 31 points, as I mentioned, to the Celtics in the first half, but then the Celtics score 31 in the third quarter alone, and then score 35 on top of that in the fourth quarter, and another 15 in the overtime. They scored 15 in the first quarter, that entire 12-minute first quarter. They scored 15 points, and they scored 15 points alone in the five-minute overtime session. This was a bad one, man, and especially coming off of the two previous losses. So now you've got three home losses in a row. The manner of the losses is particularly, you know, it's concerning. I'm not going to say that it's alarming yet. It's not panic time. It's not freak out time. But it's definitely a concern. You know, you live by the sword, you die by the sword. The Grizzlies have had so much fortune with these super clutch situations that it was inevitably going to come back around. They couldn't possibly remain 11-0 in those ridiculously clutch situations. We talked about it a lot on the pod. It just was a matter of time before that came back down to earth. But you didn't expect that it would come back down to earth with such a thud. And you didn't expect necessarily that it would be accompanied by a loss of defensive principles. But that's really what we saw tonight. There were a number of guys that just didn't get it done. And, you know, we'll go right to the beginning of this thing, and we'll get right. There's no sense in burying the lead. I'll talk about some individual performances here or coming up in just a second. But let's go right to it, because that comment that you heard from David Fizdale, and you know what, let me go ahead and play it again for you just to remind you of what he said specifically about the leadership on the team.
Right now, I'm really down on our leadership. Our huddles are like tombs right now. No one wants to step up and lead this group yet during this tough time.
Now, if you remember, to put that in context, it was not even, well, I guess it was probably about 2 months ago. In fact, you know what? It was 2 months ago to the day that David Fizdale announced that Marc Gasol was going to be his solo captain. He was the guy. in the locker room, that he had been impressed by what Mark had done, and he was, you know, obviously best player on the team or second. I mean, you know, whoever. Mark's the best player on the team, I think it's fair to say. And he was a leader, and he expected him to be a leader, and so he made him solo captain of the team. Now, you fast forward to Tuesday night when you get Marc Gasol kind of passive for times and then kind of aggressive and then defensively, you know, not – you could blame a lot of folks for a lot of things. Marc was not at his best in the second half defensively, just like – almost everyone else wasn't at their best. And apparently, according to, you know, what Fizdale's saying in the huddles and looking for leadership and looking for some kind of a boost and something positive out there, body language, all those things, it's not happening. So what did Marc Gasol have to say about this? Well, Tim McMahon of ESPN, who happens to be in town, was right there, asked him the question. The video is fascinating. I can't give you the video, but I can give you the audio. And just know that the second none is punctuated by Mark jabbing his face towards the camera, like, you know, wrestling style. So take a listen to some of the audio from Mark when he's asked for his reaction to what David Fizdale said.
Exact words, and the huddles are like tombs right now. Obviously, you're a leader on this team. What's your reaction to that?
No.
Do you think it's inaccurate?
No, you asked for my reaction. I said none. You think that we got to be better, and that's it. No reaction.
So, in case you couldn't catch that, Tim McMahon asked for the reaction to what Fizdale said, and he gave a little synopsis of what Fizdale had said. Mark said none, and then said none again more aggressively. Said dead, no reaction to what Fizdale said. Now let's go back to Friday after the Kings loss, in which David Fizdale in the postgame had said our effort tonight was pathetic. Marc Gasol was asked this time by Jeff Calkins whether he thought that was accurate or not. And after they went back and forth a little bit and Mark saying, doesn't matter what I think, doesn't matter. Here is kind of a little, the last little bit of that back and forth.
He's going to change what he thinks, and he's going to change what I think. So, that doesn't matter.
What do you think?
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Come on, we got to come back tomorrow, work out, get better, watch film, and move on.
So, again, that first part might have been a little bit unclear, but he said he's not going to change what I think, and I'm not going to change what he thinks, so it doesn't matter. That is a, you know, you couple those two things together and you've got an attitude that seems to be very much at odds. You've got a player, and in fact, not just a player, but the best player, not just the best player, but the captain, the guy who is the actual captain on the team, essentially saying that he doesn't really agree with the criticism that's levied by the head coach of the team's effort. And then tonight you can throw in the mix that he doesn't agree with or has no reaction to, at least, the comment that there is no leadership. And the fact, frankly, that the head coach is calling out the leadership on the team is a direct reflection on the guy that he has as captain. That's a criticism of Marc Gasol. You can say, you can couch it however you want to. That is a criticism of Marc Gasol directly. And I would imagine that Mark is taking it that way, much in the same way that he's taking the comment about the effort level. He's taking it personally. It certainly seems that way. And, this is a little bit of a budding concern. Again, I don't want to blow this out of proportion. It's not like, you know, coach v player and open revolt and blah, blah, blah. That's way too much. Don't read that much into it. But they're not on the same page right now. And I will say, I don't think that Mark, you know, for whatever, whether it's a cultural thing with him and with the media, he does not tend to react well when coaches especially air anything that he thinks is dirty laundry. or something that he thinks is a best served in a team function type thing. He does not react well to that. He does not think that's the role of the coach. And so he has typically, and that the same was true of Lionel and Dave Yeager and now Fizdale, he tends to bristle when those things happen. Doesn't mean that they have, you know, he had a good relationship with Lionel, very good relationship with Lionel, and a, you know, okay relationship with Dave Yeager. It was, so it's not like it was fatal to that. It's just something that he doesn't like, so he reacts that way. But the fact is, Fizdale's right. You know, Marc Gasol needs to be a leader and needs to be a positive force and needs, you know, I'm not talking about, he's never going to be a rah-rah guy, but he's got to lead by example, particularly in times when you are working in new players, Mike Conley, James Ennis, you know, Chandler Parsons, probably tonight against the Pistons. When you're working these guys into the mix, it is something that is difficult. And the one guy that has been the stalwart in this whole thing has been Mark. He's got to be that guy. He's got to be the rock. He's got to be the leader. He's got to be the dude. It may not even be comfortable for him, but it was something that we've talked about all the time in the preseason, in the off season, him working for the attitude, trying to achieve more positivity. We talked about it earlier on. Well, this is when it's tested. This is when he needs to show that for the team, you know, and he was part of the problem in the second half, just like a lot of guys were. So just keep that, pay attention to that. Pay attention to what happened. Now I want to play you some more of what David Fizdale had to say. The lengthier comments from that I pulled the clip that we're talking about with Mark from. But I want you to hear the full comment about what happened, because there were a couple things he brought up that were, I was watching myself and I'm totally baffled by. So here's a little longer version of what David Fizdale had to say in criticism of his team's performance, particularly in the second half against Boston.
You know, it's a few different things. The prior two games, we just didn't have rhythm and timing. We was just out of it. Tonight, you know, it shouldn't even came to that. We hold them to 31 in the first half. And the third quarter, they get 31. And then they turn around and get, what, 35 or 36 in the fourth? So basically, we stayed in the locker room at halftime. So, yeah, you know, there's some things we could have done different. I should have probably called a timeout in regulation and drew up something better. I own that. But shouldn't have came to that. Our defense totally failed us. And right now, I'm really down on our leadership. Our huddles are like tombs right now. No one wants to step up and lead this group yet during this tough time. So I'm going to keep demanding it and seeing who's going to rise to the challenge. We weren't focused. Like, it was literally they ran the same play three times in a row and we were supposed to switch, and we never switched it. Even after I yelled at the guys on the second play and said, what are we supposed to do? They said switch, and then they ran it again and we didn't switch. So, like I said, our brain stayed in the locker room.
The sequence he's talking about with the running the same play three times in a row was incredible to watch. It was like, I mean, it really was insane. And the Celtics got three threes out of it. They also were just killing. And it was interesting to see that they were much more aggressive in pick and roll with Isaiah Thomas as the ball handler. They didn't do much of that in the first half because the Grizzlies really stifled it and protected against it in a way that they don't normally do. The Grizzlies aren't the best pick and roll defensive team out there this year. And we talked about that yesterday on the pod in the preview. Could the Grizzlies deal with it? But in the first half, they did. Second half, they absolutely did not. And there were myriad looks that came from that. I have to particularly call out Andrew Harrison, who in the second half got torched. As soon as he came into the ballgame, and I charted this, it wasn't entirely on Harrison, but there was a domino effect. When he checked into the ballgame in the second half, the Celtics scored on seven straight possessions. And then when he was directly guarding Isaiah Thomas, which did not last very long at the beginning of the fourth quarter, whoo, Isaiah Thomas went off. And it really started his, well, I guess it was a continuation of a crazy second half, but it really kicked it into even a different level. Because, you know, Isaiah Thomas ended up, you know, in addition to just overall the 44-point performance, 10 of 16 from the floor, by the way, 16 shots, 44 points, 17 of 17 from the foul line. But in particular, in the fourth quarter and overtime, he played 15 of the 17 minutes. 15 minutes, scored 24 points on 7 shots. 5 of 7 from the field. All 5 of the makes were threes. Got to the foul line 9 times in those scenarios. He scored 24 points on 7 shots. That's over 3 points a shot. Efficiency is like off the charts, way off the charts on that one. And defensively, the Grizzlies were a mess, an absolute mess. And I will tell you, Mike Conley was the best player for the Grizzlies in the second half and in that sequence. He played his defense. Go back and watch him. His defense was okay. He was not the problem. And he scored 17 points, you know, 6 assists in that second half alone. Mike Conley was not the problem. The problem was, well, a lot of different guys. Mark, you know, Tony Allen did not turn the water off on Isaiah Thomas. That was the guy that was tasked to do it. And Tony, you know, for the first time in a while, he had a night where it didn't work out in that second half. Jermichael Green, some people were asking about why Jermichael didn't play after, especially after Zach was kicked out due to the flagrant two where he elbowed the throat of Olenek. And it was, you know, it was a borderline call, but he did catch the throat, and that's one that they're going to look at on replay, and it's going to look worse on replay. So why didn't Jermichael Green play? And David Fizdale, his comment was that I think Kevin Leip asked that question. He said, well, Jarrell Martin was just playing better. The truth is that Jermichael Green did not have a good night either defensively. And that's really his cup of tea. That's what he does. He was rebounding the basketball, but that was about it, and he was struggling. He was struggling with what the Celtics were doing once they picked the tempo up and started doing a lot of screening action and switching action that the Grizzlies were doing off the ball, especially. Jermichael got caught up in the flux and did not defend particularly well, you know, when he was out there. Troy Daniels, give him credit for making a bunch of shots. You know, he was the guy that kept the Grizzlies afloat and kept them scoring. You know, when they needed to get those points, he made a bunch of them, 4 of 7. From behind the three-point line for him, 24 points on the night, and you know, that's huge. That's huge. They needed that from him. You know, Marc Gasol did finish with 24 points, 7 rebounds, and 6 assists in the game. It wasn't all bad for Mark, but not his best night at the office. And the postgame definitely added to the intrigue. It's an interesting time for the Grizzlies. So this is a big night. Tonight against Boston, or tonight against Detroit, rather, a big night because the Pistons are a flaming dumpster fire. Stan Van Gundy, you know, after they got embarrassed on Monday by the Bulls, and they did get embarrassed. They were down 69-34 at the half. They were down 35 at the half to the Bulls. This is not a, you know, electrifying, you know, three-point dynamo of a team in Chicago. I mean, they're a good team, but they're not, you know, the team that's typically going to blow you out like that. It's not the Warriors we're talking about. And after that game, Stan Van Gundy said the Pistons' effort was embarrassing, it was unprofessional, and said, you know, because they had a team meeting prior to that. And Stan's comment was, team meeting my ass. So that's who the Grizzlies are playing. That is a team that is in free fall. There's really no better opponent. If it was at home, you know, it might even be better. But honestly, like the Grizzlies right now, with how they're playing at FedEx Forum, it might be better for it to be away from home. It might be better that they go up and take a little quick trip. It might be better that they kind of get away from it for a little bit. Maybe that will help to get them back where they need to be. So I think tonight is a huge game. They need to stop the slide. They need to get themselves back where they need to be mentally. They need to get themselves back on the right track. Just need to shake this thing off. No need to panic. No need to freak out. It's also big because Chandler Parsons is coming back. And, you know, he is expected to play. I would assume he would jump right into the starting lineup as they try to build some chemistry with that group. But as James Ennis has found out, it's tricky to jump back in. And Mike Conley is finding that out too. But even, you know, Ennis, who is not anywhere close to the importance of Mike and Mark, you know, Chandler is more important. I like James Ennis, but let's be honest, in terms of the role that he's going to have, you heard from Chandler yesterday on the pod. He's excited. He feels good. He went through another heavy workout today, and they'll see how he reacts later on. And I say today, I'm taping this Tuesday, so he went through the heavy workout Tuesday. They'll see how he reacts on Wednesday prior to the game, and if everything's good, then he's going to play. And so that would be interesting to watch. But really, that's to me kind of the side story, because I just want to see how they react. I want to see if they get it back together. And if Mike Conley can take what was a very strong second half, I thought, and parlay that now into going forward, if Marc Gasol can shake off whatever it is that's ailing him, you know, mentally or whatever friction, if there is any, between him and Fizdale, if he could shake that stuff off, if the Grizzlies can get themselves right again for 48 minutes, they should have no problem beating a Pistons team that is reeling. But if they don't, then the slide continues and you start to really get a little bit concerned. So I think there's a lot out there. I think also interesting, you know, and a couple things to just kind of keep an eye on. Houston is out there in the trade market, and they are looking for somebody to help out now that Clint Capella is going to be out for at least a month. I was kicking around. I would be curious if you guys would react. I'm not. We've talked about it before. I'm not the maestro of the trade machine. That's not me. I can't do that stuff. But I would be curious if Houston would be interested in something involving Jamichael Green. You know, this was not Jamichael's best performance, but he's had a standout year so far. And, you know, he is scheduled and he's due to be paid big money. So that big money coming in restricted free agency, and restricted free agency is really actually in the new CBA is going to be tipped even more heavily in favor of the restricted free agent. Not only is the time, matching time, diminished from 72 to 48 hours, but also apparently you'll be able to make offers to those guys on July 1st. So the money that you would normally have tied up in a restricted free agent offer sheet that you couldn't use for other free agents, you know, normally that would be 72 hours, and it would take place after the normal, you know, free agent signing period begins after the moratorium. Well, apparently during the moratorium, you will actually be able to sign restricted free agents to offer sheets. So it won't actually even jeopardize that money, which means that it's tilted even more in favor of the restricted free agent, which means a guy like Jamichael Green is going to get, you know, probably a few more offers than he otherwise would. I say all that to say that it just, unless you really truly believe in Jamichael, you need to explore the trade market. And Houston, it's not like he's a perfect fit alongside those guys. And it's not like, you know, he's a replica of Clint Capella. He's definitely not. But he does have the ability to shoot from the outside. His shot has wavered a bit of late, but he can do that. He can certainly run the floor, which you need to at Houston. He can space the floor, which you need to. He can switch and play multiple positions and can defend multiple positions. I think he'd be appealing to Houston. I would discuss that with them. I would try to see if I could sniff around Sam Decker, who I think would fill some roles for the Grizzlies and be kind of a much better version of Troy Williams with respect to Troy Williams. I would sniff around him. I'd sniff around Montrezl Harrell. I would sniff around KJ McDaniels, possibly. And just a few of those guys. You may have to throw other guys in or a second-round pick here or there, but I don't know. It was something I was thinking about. Tell me what you think. Do you think that Jermichael Green gets traded? We'll do a more heavy trade-related pod as we start approaching trade deadline stuff, but do you think he'll be traded? Do you like that look? Would you do something like that? I think Brandon Wright would be a more natural fit and a more natural trade target, but he's obviously hurt, so that's going to impact his relevance to Houston, especially because they're going to get a guy because one of their guys is hurt. So anyway, that's a little bit of NBA news that's out there too. By the way, also, if you did not check out the Kings Blazers game late last night, you have got to go find the highlights. Boogie Cousins, completely insane. An insane performance, then an insane performance after the game. He ends up, I think the final tally for him was 55 points. 55 points, 13 rebounds, is that right? I think that's right. 13 rebounds, 55 and 13, three blocks, and he only took 28 shots. So 55 points on 28 shots is pretty incredible. In 40 minutes, the Kings came back from being down big to beat the very, very reeling Portland Trailblazers. And Boogie Cousins afterwards called out Mason Plumlee, and they cut his mic. He spit his mouthpiece out, apparently towards the Portland bench. He was initially thrown out of the game, and then it was rescinded. This thing had it all. Go find the highlights if you haven't watched them. It was something else. 55 and 13 for Boogie. Where will he go? Will he ever be traded? Is he destined to always remain an insane part of an insane franchise in Sacramento? Anyway, as always, thank you guys for joining me. Thanks for being part of the pod. I'd love to get your reaction to a lot of the stuff. This is a very interesting time. Very interesting time. Your reaction to the game, your reaction to what you heard, all that stuff. Please send that to me. You can email me, peter@peteredmiston.com. That's peter@peteredmiston.com. By the way, I want to say a big thanks to the guys over at Fast Break Breakfast, the Fast Break Breakfast pod. Keith Parrish. I talked to Keith, and it was a lot of fun talking to Keith, so I appreciate that very much. And check that out. If you did not download that, go and get that. And if you don't subscribe, go and subscribe. They do some great work over there at Fast Break Breakfast, so many thanks to them for having me on. Be sure to check that out. Also, check out all the great Locked On pods that we've got. Locked On NBA. Had a great chat with our man David Locke, who was, of course, the Jazz play-by-play guy and the namesake of the Locked On Broadcast Network. It was great talking to David before the game. It was great catching up with him. And the network is doing fabulously well. So many, many thanks to David. Check out Locked On NBA, which is a great season kind of overarching thing for the whole NBA. Check that out, too. If you are into that, it's really well worth a listen. There's always some awesome guests on there. And they do a little bit of Grizzly talk, too. So you're going to want to check out what David does with that. Also, so I said, you can email me, peter@peteredmiston.com. You can hit me up on Twitter. I am @PeterEdmiston. Love getting your tweets. Appreciate that very much. You can read my stuff in the Commercial Appeal. You can hear me on Real Sports Talk, Sports 56 and 87.7 FM. Thanks again for listening. Have a great hump day. Enjoy the game tonight. We got another pod coming your way in the morning. Until then, y'all be well.
Locked On Grizzlies, your daily Memphis Grizzlies podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our four-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our two-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.